Hello, mga batch. It's me, your gay detective, Martin Rules, and welcome back to my channel. Ganon. Ayun na nga. Hello. And I'm very sorry na I haven't been very active here on YouTube because sobrang busy ko sa podcast and then sa TikTok recent month. And yun na nga, nakaligtaan ko na itong YouTube. At saka, medyo yung topic natin for today sobrang sensitive and ang hirap niyang i-tackle, kaya medyo natagalan akong gawin siya at mag-research. So that's the reason, pero ang importante, nagbabalik na ako, andito na ako ngayon ulit, and hopefully tuloy-tuloy na at mag-subscribe kayo sa akin channel para bogs sa bog. Anyway, kumusta kayong lahat? Sana okay lang kayo. Kumusta ang aking guys, girls, and my non-binary friends? I hope you guys are safe and healthy. Kung bago kayo sa aking channel, hello, my name is Martin Rules, or you can call me Tin. At tuwing Thursday, gumagawa ako ng video tungkol sa totoong krimen o misteryo na nangyari sa Pilipinas o sa Asia habang nagme-makeup. Kaya naman kung interesado ka sa ganitong klaseng content, I highly suggest na mag-subscribe ka na sa aking channel because currently we are 9.4 subscribers. So, malapit na. Konting usog na lang. 10 kyaw na. Ito ay combat mo lang naman. Oo. So, hindi kita pinipili. And also, huwag mo rin kalimutan na i-click yung bell button para naman ma-update ka kapag meron tayong bagong uploads. And lastly, if you have any questions tungkol sa topic natin for today or sa mga makeup na i-apply ko, huwag kayo mahiya na magtanong sa comment section below. Ano ba to ang kape? Okay, so last month, pinag-usapan natin yung artist and murderer na si Juan Luna, and today naman we are going to talk about the Khmer Rouge, the Killing Fields, and Pol Pot. So buckle up because this is going to be a wild and long story. Yes, babala. Ang mga susunod na imahe, istorya, at description ay maaaring makapagdulot ng takot. Huwag magpatuloy kung kinakailangan. Okay, so may mga nakakaalam ba dito ng nangyaring genocide sa Cambodia? Because kung wala, let me go ahead and tell the story because sobrang complex ng case na ito at ang daming dapat i-discuss. Pero as always, alamin muna natin kung bakit nag-end up sa ganitong situation. So, magbabalik tayo in time. Okay, so back in the 19th century, nag-emerge yung Khmer Empire sa Cambodia and became a powerful state in Southeast Asia. However, just like any other empire, nag-collapse ito and eventually na-colonize ng mga French noong 1867. Yung monarchy daw were kept in place pero naging puppet government na lang siya ng mga French. And then fast forward to World War II, the French colonial began to weaken. Pagkatapos yung neighboring country na Thailand invaded Cambodia in October 1940 and successfully taking some border provinces. The next year, April 1941 to be exact, yung puppet monarch ng Cambodia na si King Sisowat Monibong died. Inalitan siya ng batang prince na si Norodom Sihanouk, 18 years old at that time, whom the French believe would be more pliable than Prince Monireth, Monivong's designated successor. Si Sihanouk would later play a major role sa politics ng Cambodia and sa genocide. Pagkaupo niya as king, sinakop naman ng Japan yung bansa at nagsuffer ito ng malala. Nung natapos yung war in 1945, pinoclaim ni Sihanouk yung Independent Kingdom of Kampuchea noong March. Pero by October that same year, the French reimposed on Cambodia. As you can see, after ng war, yung short na freedom nila, nag-proclaim agad sila ng Independent Kingdom of Kampuchea dahil ganun yung thirst nila sa freedom. Anyway, si King Sihanouk succeeded gaining some concessions from the French government to grant great autonomy to Cambodia. Naganap yung unang election ng bansa to a domestic parliament in 1946, at yung bago at modernong konstitusyon ay nag-take effect in May 1947. Yung negotiation ay nakontinue pa in the years ahead for Cambodia to be given more a concerted form of independence. Samantala, yung mga lugar sa Indochina like Vietnam ay may war against the French dahil yung mga insurgents wish to acquire independence from French Indochina. By the way, Indochina was a colonial term for 5 countries na Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, Thailand, and Vietnam. This was coined in the late 19th century when the French colonized these countries. Dahil yung lugar daw ay nagsishare ng Indian and Chinese influences and culture doon sa region. Anyway, yung first Indochina War ay nagsimula noong 1946 to 1954 at ito yung simula ng mahabang period kung saan yung pagsik ng Vietnam for freedom would substantially impacted on developments in Cambodia. At yung insurgency sa Vietnam made the French government more willing to give concessions kay King Sihanouk and sa Cambodia para masiguro nila na hindi na magkaroon ng isa pang independence war. Pero yung pinangahawakan na concession ni King Sihanouk were viewed as not going far enough. Kaya yung Cambodia in the 1950s ay puno ng political instability. May mga parties na sumulpot, calling for independence and an end for French colonial rule. Habang yung iba naman gusto nang ipa-abolish yung monarchy dahil sa pag-kiss-ass nito sa mga mananakop. Si King Sihanouk disbanded the National Assembly and began ruling by decree. Kaya lalong lumala yung political turmoil, so much so, yung Cambodia was in a state of civil war. Yung mga sumunod na taon was a continual turmoil which eventually resulted in 1968 outbreak of civil war. Although the Geneva Conference of 1954 napagtagumpayan na mahinto yung First Indochina War between French and pro-independence Vietnamese, yung conflict sa Southeast Asia ay hindi pa rin nahinto. And eventually, yung northern parts of Vietnam became an independent country of North Vietnam, which was pro-communist, while the south of the country also gained independence as the pro-Western Republic of Vietnam. However, kahit nagkaroon ng settlement under the Geneva Conference, yung North Vietnam simulang ipag-unite yung buong country under communist rule. Kaya noong 1955, nagkaroon ng Second Indochina War, also known as Vietnam War, na naglast for almost 20 years, with the south of Vietnam supported by the United States habang humihina yung influence ng France. Samantala, yung north of Vietnam supported by Soviet Russia and communist China. Throughout the duration of Vietnam War, naipit yung Cambodia sa gitna dahil yung North Vietnam, known as the Viet Cong, used Cambodia as a staging base of attacks into South Vietnam, kung saan nag-establish ng camps yung mga Vietnamese sa north and east of Cambodia. Going back to Cambodia, same year, 1955, nagkaroon ng first post-independence election at maraming naniniwala na yung anti-monarchy democratic party yung mananalo. With this, nag-abdicate sa kanyang pwesto si King Sihanouk at pumalit sa kanya yung kanyang tatay na si Norodom Suramarit. At si Sihanouk established his own political party called Sangkum Ristirnium, meaning the community of common people. At during the election, through widespread intimidation and fraud, nanalo yung political party nila over 80% of the vote, effectively establishing a one-party dictatorship with Sihanouk as a prime minister. While Sihanouk was beloved by many Cambodians, marami rin ang may ayaw sa kanya dahil sa authoritarian leadership niya that gave rise to underground opposition. Fast forward to 1959, the members of Marxist-Leninist Cambodian movement established the Kampuchean Labor Party, which later known as the infamous Khmer Rouge. In September that same year, 21 senior members of the party met in a room of a railroad in Phnom Penh, kung saan they agreed to rename the new party as the Workers' Party of Kampuchea and they allocate the positions. Si Tu Samuth, aka Akar Sok, yung ginawang General Secretary, si Nuon Chea naman ay inappoint as his deputy, at si Salot Sar, aka Pol Pot, ay inelect to the bureau and was effectively third in command to the new Revolutionary Party. Speaking of Salot, Kimi, pag-usapan natin yan si Pol Pot dahil he played a big part sa nangyaring genocide sa Cambodia. Born in May 19, 1925, lumaki si Pol Pot sa village ng Prexvalve sa northeastern Cambodia. Pangwalo siya sa siyam na magkakapatid sa mga magulang na sina Soknem, isang devout Buddhist, at si Salot Pem, isang wealthy farmer sa region. Yung pamilya ay mixed Chinese and Khmer ethnicity, pero hindi sila nagsasalita ng Chinese language. And they live as though as they were fully Khmer. They owned 9 hectares of rice land and several draft cattle. Prexvalve is a small fishing village on the Sen River. At kahit ganito yung pamumuhay dito, yung bahay ng pamilya ay isa sa pinakamalaki sa village. At pag harvest time, they hired poorer neighbor to carry out much of the agricultural labor. Obviously, si Pol Pot grew up in a well-off middle-class family, pero in an interview with Yugoslav Television in 1977, ang sabi ni Pol Pot, he was born into a poor peasant family. So, totoo talaga na ikaw ang bida sa kwenta mo. Chos! Yung pamilya ni Pol Pot ay may connection with the Cambodian government, including the royal family. Dahil yung cousin niya na si Mik was a consort of King Sisowat Monivong. 6 years old si Pol Pot nung tumira siya at yung older brother niya kay Mik sa Phnom Penh. Because informal adoptions by wealthier relatives were common in Cambodia. Sa Phnom Penh, he spent 18 months as a novice monk in the city's Wat Pho Tum Bade Monastery. Doon natuto siya ng Buddhist teaching and learn and write Khmer language. Pagkatapos in the summer of 1935, tumira siya sa kapatid niya na si Swong kasama yung asawa at anak nito. At doon, nag-aral siya sa isang Roman Catholic primary school, the Ecole Miche. At yung pinsan niya na si Mik, yung nagbabayad ng tuition fee. Most of his classmates ay anak ng colonial French bureaucrats at Catholic Vietnamese. He became literate with French and familiar with Christianity. Though lumaking well-off at may access education, ang sabi, Pol Pot was not academically gifted. And he preferred sports instead of his studies. And actually, he was 2 years behind nung nagtapos siya sa primary school. So, mga 1941, nung graduate siya, the next year in 1942, nag-aral siya sa isang prestigious boarding school. At sa level ng education na ito, earned him a position in Cambodian society. And there, he learned to play the violin, took part in school plays, and in his spare time, he spent it playing football and basketball. Pagkatapos, in 1947, he left the school. That same year, nakapasa siya sa exam at nakapasok sa Lycee Sisowat habang nakatira sa kapatid niyang si Suong at bagong asawa nito. In the summer of 1948, he sat the brevet entry examination for the upper classes of Lycee, pero he failed. Unlike several of his friends, he could not continue on at the school for the baccalaureate. Instead, nag-enroll siya to study carpentry at the Ecole Technique in Rusikeo. Yung drop niya from a academic education to a vocation is a big shock siguro sa social class na kinabibilangan niya. Dahil yung mga classmates na kasama niya dito is from a lower class unlike dun sa Lycee Sisowat. However, yung privilege niya benefited him once again in the months ahead. Dahil noong 1949, he was awarded a prestigious scholarship to attend an advanced engineering class in Paris. Kasi at the time, it was not uncommon for the French to invite the sons of well-connected colonial families para mag-aral sa France to inculcate the virtues of French society and encourage them to want to maintain French control over Cambodia rather than seeking independence. Kaso dahil sa political climate sa Cambodia at that time, he, si Pol Pot, would become radicalized against French colonial rule habang nag-aaral sa France. He became associated with numerous political groups na inorganized ng kapwa niya Cambodians sa Paris. Isa dito yung Khmer Student Association, which was committed to achieving Cambodian independence from French rule. May isa pang grupo, which was the Sikh Marxist or Marxist-Leninist Organization, na nagtitipon-tipon to read Marxist-Leninist and other communist writings to discuss Cambodia's struggle against French oppression. Siguro it's important to note here na yung mga anti-colonial independence struggle sa mga third world country like Africa and Asia, post-Second World War period, adopted one form of communism or another as their ideological base para sa kanilang kalayaan. However, assessing Pol Pot's ideology at yung mga ginawa niya, we can definitely say na hindi niya naintindihan yung Communist Manifesto. Charing! Pero ang sabi-sabi, he claimed to have had the Marxist thought, pero in reality, hindi niya raw talaga naintindihan yung binasa niyang sinulat ni Karl Marx. He later admitted na he had not been really able to comprehend. Rather, he was attracted by the idea of continuous revolution, without concerns for the violence and human implication. I mean, may violence naman talaga when it comes to revolution by fighting off yung mga mananakop, pero hindi ganun nangyari te. Anyway, yung commitment niya to acquire independence and carrying out revolution became the central focus of his political leanings later on. Not any ideological commitment to communism. Pol Pot became familiar with the writings of Soviet leader Joseph Stalin, including the history of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Yung mga Bolsheviks, also Mao Zedong's work, especially on New Democracy. Pati na rin yung libro ng anarchist na si Peter Kropotkin on French Revolution, The Great Revolution. Nakuha niya yung idea kay Kropotkin that an alliance between the intellectuals and the peasantry was necessary for the revolution. Back in Cambodia noong 1953, may mga political turmoil na nangyayari, kaya yung Sikh Marxist decided na magpadala ng miyembro nila pabalik ng Cambodia para ma-assess nila yung situation at ma-determine nila kung sino yung mga competing entities that they should be supporting. And so it was that Pol Pot found himself returning to Southeast Asia in December 1952 after 3 years in France. Pinagpatuloy niya yung pagiging active niya sa Marxist-Leninist circle in Cambodia, pero underground sila dahil powerful yung regime ni Sihanouk. Samantala, nagtrabaho siya as a teacher teaching history, geography, and literature sa isang private school in Phnom Penh, and in 1956, he married Khieu Ponary. Patuloy pa rin yung political oppression throughout these years sa authoritarian government nung dating king na si Sihanouk, with senior members of the Democratic Party being subjected to public humiliation and physical attacks during a supposedly official debate in 1957. Now, remember Tusamut, yung general secretary ng Kapuchian Labor Party? He was killed by the Cambodian government, kaya si Pol Pot ascended to the vacant position. Dahil yung second-in-command na si Nguyen Chea decided to step back from the revolutionary struggle. Pero bago pa man ma-appoint si Pol Pot as the new head of the Workers' Party, he was forced to flee with his wife to a Viet Cong encampment near the border between Cambodia and South Vietnam. Dahil simula ito ng civil war, he spent the next half a decade sa kagubatan at nakatira sa mga encampments in Cambodia and Vietnam. During these years, na-formed yung personality niya as a dictator. He was somewhat enigmatic character na nagpapakita ng self-control, reserved, and introspective. Pero despite his taciturn character, marami nagsasabi na he was charming when a situation necessitated him to be so. Kaya niyang makipag-interact with people from many walks of life. Unbeknownst sa mga taong nakasalamuha niya, may tinatagong thirst for power and violence etong si Pol Pot. Anyway, onto his personal problems, yung wife niya suffered from mental health noong 1960s. Nag-divorce sila noong 1979, and although nagpakasal ulit itong si Pol Pot later in life, he never enjoyed much of a family life, having only one child. Nagkaroon siya ng anak na babae na pinanganak noong mid-1980s when he was on his late 50s. Throughout his adult life, he suffered from poor health with insomnia and intestinal ailments, mga kondisyon na lalo na parala sa pagiging erratic niya. And at the same time, noong mga panahon na to, lumalaki yung Cambodian Communist Movement dahil nga sa rehimen ni Sihanouk, yung pagiging authoritarian niya. Nakapag-gain ng maraming kaaway at revolusyonaryo na umalis sa city at nagtago sa kagubatan para mag-plot for a revolution. Dito, na-discover nila yung bagong umbrella organization for their resentment. Yung Workers' Party renamed itself in 1966 as the Communist Party of Kampuchea. Pero in Southwest, si Sihanouk refers to it as Khmer Rouge, meaning Red Cambodians. Although si Pol Pot at mga followers niya initially rejected the term, it quickly gained traction at yun yung pangalan na ginamit for the Communist Party of Kampuchea. Bukod sa pagbabago nila ng pangalan, may mga bago rin silang plans during the 1960s. Nagbabalak silang maging independent and wishing to break away from the North Vietnamese. Meron din silang bagong ideological course that this could be a revolution for the rural peasantry in Cambodia. Dahil ang vast majority of Cambodians ay farmers. At hindi ito na-foresee ni Karl Marx 100 years earlier. Dahil most revolution would be driven by urban proletariat. Katulad nung nangyari sa Russia in 1917. It's very fitting na mga rural peasant ang mag-spark ng revolution sa Cambodia laban sa mga colonial French na nag-loot sa kanila at saka yung puppet monarchy na lalo nagpahirap, which epitomized in the form of the former king at yung dictator at that time na si Sihanouk. And lastly, during these years, merong major growth yung party and its military capabilities. By 1967, meron silang several thousand members who were armed in the northern and eastern Cambodia. At eager sila at nag-iintay sila to take action against Sihanouk one-party state. Una silang umatake noong 1968 na nagsimula nung madugo at mahabang civil war. The Cambodian Civil War was initiated in January 1968 nung inatake ng mga tao ni Pol Pot yung army base at Bay Damran south of Battambang, the regional capital of Northwest Cambodia. In response to this, inorder ni Sihanouk ang widespread bombing sa north and east ng bansa. Random attacks which were designed to hit the communist encampments, disregarding yung libo-libong Cambodians na nakatira doon. Noong 1970 naman, yung civil war took a dramatic turn nung pumutok yung Vietnam War. Dahil in the spring of 1969, yung presidente ng US at that time na si Richard Nixon ordered a series of bombing raids sa Cambodia to try to interrupt the Viet Cong supply lines sa south ng Vietnam at puntiryahin yung mga camps and bases ng mga Viet Cong sa northeast ng Cambodia. Pagkatapos, sinundan ito ng pag-overthrow sa government ni Sihanouk sa Phnom Penh noong March 1970 by a pro-American coup d'etat at na-establish na yung Khmer Republic with Prime Minister Lon Nol as its head. Tumakas si Sihanouk papunta ng China at yung Prime Minister na si Lon Nol honored his commitments to Washington at in order ng Khmer Republic na umalis na yung mga Viet Cong sa teritory ng Cambodia. However, hindi ito nag-take effect at yung mga sumunod na buwan, yung mga Viet Cong with Pol Pot and mga Khmer Rouge established control as much as one-third of Cambodia. Kaya ang nangyari, yung Cambodian Civil War na ang goal ay i-overthrow si Sihanouk at yung rehimen niya, and now nawala na siya sa picture, the Khmer Rouge at yung mga senior leaders na to wanted to capture Cambodia from Lon Nol and his pro-American, pro-Western government in Phnom Penh. Habang naka-exile si Sihanouk sa Beijing, yung mga Chinese and North Vietnamese Communist Party urged him to form an alliance with Khmer Rouge to overthrow Lon Nol. Samantala sa Cambodia, tuloy pa rin yung digmaan between Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge and Lon Nol's Khmer Republic. Yung isa ay supported ng mga Viet Cong and Chinese, habang isa ay supported by the US. So, ang nakakaloka, yung dating mag-aaway na rehimen ni Sihanouk at Khmer Rouge ni Pol Pot ay nagkaroon ng alliance. Sinuportahan ni Sihanouk yung Khmer Rouge, lalong-lalo na sa pag-recruit ng mga tao. Umabot sila for almost 50,000 recruits na karamihan ay apolitical peasants na lalaban in support for the king and not for communism, which they had little understanding. At this time, unti-unti nang umi-exit yung US at yung term nga na sinabi ni Nixon, peace with honor. At yung withdrawal nila ay pagkawala rin ng support sa government ni Lon Nol sa Phnom Penh. Anyway, balikan natin yung war mamaya at magtungo naman muna tayo sa mga kontroladong lugar ng Khmer Rouge. Dahil in early 1972, nag-tour si Pol Pot sa mga Marxist-controlled area sa Cambodia na tinatawag na liberated zone. Bawal ang corruption, banned ang sugal and alcohol, and extramarital affairs were discouraged. The Khmer Rouge had generally sought to cultivate good relations with the inhabitants, organizing local elections and assemblies. Yung ibang tao na disagree or hostile sa movement ay kinukulong or worse, pinapatay. Yung medyo yayamanin had their land redistributed so that by the end of 1972, all families living in the Marxist-controlled areas possess an equal amount land. At yung poorest Cambodians benefited from these reforms. That same year, yung Khmer Rouge nagsimulang baguhin yung image ng Cambodia in the image of poor peasantry whose rural, isolated, and self-sufficient lives were regarded as worthy of emulation. They order na sa lahat ng areas na control nila should dress like peasants, wearing black clothes with red and white krama scarves, and sandals made from car tires. Itong mga restrictions na ito were initially imposed on the Cham ethnic group before being rolled out across the country. At si Pol Pot also dressed in this fashion. Yung mga miyembro ng CPK or Communist Party of Kampuchea were expected to attend regular, sometimes daily, lifestyle meeting in which they engage in criticism and self-criticism. Sa gantong paraan, nagkakaroon ng vigilance and suspicion within the movement. Going back sa gera, si Lon Nol declared ceasefire in the hopes that the civil war would end amicably. Pero hindi yun ang nangyari dahil si Pol Pot and his militants continued their march towards Phnom Penh. At malinaw na they are winning, and by the spring of 1973, they are in a position of dominant power. Kaya inintroduce ni Lon Nol yung sapilitang militarization in order to have enough troops to protect the capital. Even so, the Khmer Rouge reached the outskirts of the city by April. Napigilan lang sila to seize power at this time dahil sa ginawang intervention ng US. In order ni Nixon ang malawakang pagbomba na naman, which drove Pol Pot's insurgents back to the forest. Pero this is just for a moment. Dahil after ng ilang buwan at naubos na yung aid ng US, Lon Nol's government found itself increasingly unpopular and confined in the city. And by March 1975, pinalibutan ng Khmer Rouge and Viet Cong yung Phnom Penh with 400,000 troops. And to no surprise, the city finally surrendered to Pol Pot on the 17th of April 1975. Finally, Cambodian civil war was over. No more colonial French, no more puppet monarchy, or pro-West government. So, what's next? Eto na nga. Now na na-seize nung Khmer Rouge yung power, they unleash a savage assault on Cambodian society. Itong nightmare na ito ay nangyari ilang months or weeks lang after yung civil war. At isa sa mga dahilan ay yung party, which is yung Khmer Rouge, na naniniwala sa idea of building an agrarian revolution in which rural peasant would form the basis of their communist state. And if you're paying attention, nasabi ko kanina na si Pol Pot had a little understanding sa communist ideology. At yung gustong i-implement ng Khmer Rouge had little to do with the writings of Karl Marx. And we can say that they were directly antithetical. Dahil si Karl Marx envisaged a revolution driven by proletariat of oppressed factory workers, samantala si Pol Pot and yung Khmer Rouge viewed the urban workers as dangerous subversives, and they want to encourage the Cambodians to return to the countryside from the cities in order to create an almost exclusively agrarian society. In April 1975, si Pol Pot made his way to the city, and by May, he established his government at the Silver Pagoda, isang opulent 19th century royal palace which had once been home to the monarchy. Pagkatapos, binago yung pangalan ng bansa to Democratic Kampuchea in 1976, and it was governed by the Committee of Khmer Rouge leading figures who were named as brothers. Si Pol Pot was brother number one and served as the prime minister. Si Sihanouk, yung dating king, ay binigyan din ng position sa government to prevent him on becoming a focus of opposition sa bagong rehimen. Pero he resigned and subsequently kept under house arrest by the regime, which how the Khmer Rouge kept their control of the country. Yung policies pursued by Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge after ng civil war ay inspired by the great leap forward na ginawa ni Mao Zedong sa China 20 years earlier, kung saan he drastically attempted to increase China's food production and industrial output in just few years. However, yung the Great Leap Forward was a failure and resulted in the deaths as many as 50 million people in the span of 5 to 6 years. Although communication was hindered by the reliance of translators, binalaan siya nito against uncritically imitating the path to socialism. Pero dead na dahil patuloy pa rin si Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge at yung goal nila na gawing self-sufficient and reliant yung bansang Cambodia on no other countries. And ina-avoid niya rin to fall under the influence yung bansa of its more powerful neighbor to the east in Vietnam. At itong self-sufficiency ay ma-achieve lang through collectivization, kung saan yung mga farms sa buong bansa ay under ng isang state ownership and then run collectively or communally by farmers. Ang goal ay mapataas yung agricultural output ng bansa ng bongga. And of course, to force the Cambodians to work as hard as possible. Kaya si Pol Pot at yung Khmer Rouge immediately began forcing the Cambodians to leave the cities at mag-relocate sa mga labor camps to countrysides. Ang pagkakasabi nila sa mga tao, kailangan nilang umalis, mag-evacuate dahil may paparating na bomb raids yung US. At nagsinungaling pa yung Khmer Rouge na pwede na silang bumalik after 3 days. At yung pag-evacuate na ito entailed moving over 2.5 million people out of the city with little to no preparation. They were forced to march kahit yung mga nasa ospital. May mga checkpoints along the road kung saan yung mga Khmer Rouge ay nagkoconduct ng search sa mga nagmamarcha at kinoconfiscate many of their belongings. Nagtook place yung march during the hottest month of the year, and estimated 20,000 people died along the route. Many children were separated from their parents and put into labor brigades that travel from place to place. Yung mga middle class, educated, religious, and mga people associated sa previous government at ethnic or national minorities ay targeted as enemies. Though yung new order was theoretically classless, pero each commune in the countryside was divided into two groups. Una, yung base people na sumali sa movement and was deemed as loyal and worthy, and yung new people na galing sa city were to be despised and persecuted. Noong 1976, nag-issue yung Khmer Rouge ng first 4-year plan, which stands in collectivization of property and expansion and the cultivation of rice. At ang goal ay ma-achieve ang pag-ani ng 3 tons of rice per hectare. Ang sabi ni Pol Pot, and I quote, "If we can have rice, we can have everything," end quote. Mas maraming task ang napunta sa new people who were transported like cattle, then sent to the fields to cultivate from dawn to dusk. Yung mga binigay sa kanila were primitive tools and told to dig canals and erect dams. At syempre, hindi naman lahat sa kanila ay alam yung ganitong work, kaya yung iba ay flawed yung design, hindi maayos na water system na pwedeng maka-apekto sa pag-ani or sa pagtatanim. Also, they often fell victim to exhaustion and disease. Sila yung nagtatanim pero they were fed poorly dahil sa shortage ng food. At nagkakasakit na nga sila dahil walang gamot kahit na basic medical care. This resulted in hundreds of thousands of Cambodians starving to death and untold numbers of people succumbed to disease and starvation. Yung condition sa work camps deteriorated dahil sa hindi maayos na pamumuno, and on top of the disease and starvation, yung mga workers who refused to work hard or resisted were executed. Ito mga nangyayari sa Kampuchea ay hindi pa nalalaman ng mga karatig na bansa. Akala nila wala ng war, okay na, pero ang hindi nila alam, yung pumalit ng government, which is the Khmer Rouge, were highly autocratic, xenophobic, classist, and totalitarian regime. They created a massive security apparatus across the country, including nearly 200 prisons kung saan yung mga prisoners were interrogated, tortured, and executed. Maraming upper and middle class ang pinatay simply for having links sa mga ruling class or makitang bourgeois sila. Ang weird lang dahil si Pol Pot ay galing sa upper middle class na family. Anyway, yung mga foreigners were also targeted, katulad na lang nung 250,000 Cambodians of Chinese ethnicity na pinatay between 1975 and 1979. And as many as 100,000 na Muslims ang pinatay. At yung paraan ng execution was a blow to the head from behind. Yung mga instrument na ginagamit pang patay ay sharpened bamboo, scythes, at pickaxe to save bullets. By the way, isa sa mga notorious prison ay yung S21, isang secondary school na merong 20,000 prisoners ang tinorture at pinatay. Yung mga bata were indoctrinated and forced to engage in killings. At yung mga anak ng political dissenters or ethnic minorities ay pinapatay din. Dahil yung thinking ni Pol Pot at ng Khmer Rouge, they want to avoid na pag lumaki yung bata, they will seek revenge. Lahat ng ito ay nangyari sa mga farm areas na naging mass graves na tinatawag na killing fields. Yung ibang biktima were forced to dig their own graves bago sila patayin. Kadalasan, yung mga farmers or peasants were forced to carry out these executions to avoid punishments. So far, mayroong 20,492 mass graves sa buong Cambodia, and somewhere between 1.7 to 2.2 million Cambodians had been killed by the hands of the Khmer Rouge in the late 1970s. And the gag is, hindi pa final yung numbers na ito. Nung binabasa ko to, ang sabi ko, it's the 70s, people love music, interaction, ganyan. Pero unfortunately, sa rehimen ng Khmer Rouge, music and radio was banned. Pati money was abolished and barter system was introduced. People are not allowed to choose partners. Bawal sila magpakita ng affection, humor, or pity. I think you all know by now na hindi okay ang relationship ng Cambodia and Vietnam, even though naging mag-alay sila. Laban sa rehimen ni si Hanok before, yung Khmer Rouge at mga Viet Cong, remember? Pero eventually, naging mag-alay din si Hanok and yung mga Khmer Rouge. So medyo, politics. Pero by the end of Civil War, nag-deteriorate yung friendship ng Cambodia and Vietnam over the negotiation sa border dispute. Kaya by December 1978, nagpadala ng troops yung Vietnam sa border ng mga contested regions. At nag-respond naman si Pol Pot by ordering raids sa border region. Pagkatapos, nag-launch ng full-scale invasion yung mga Vietnamese sa Cambodia on Christmas Day. That same year, nag-start na yung Vietnamese-Cambodian War and over 150,000 Vietnamese troops ang pumunta sa border. Many of them were veterans from the long Vietnam War at mga seasoned military commanders. Mabilis nilang na-capture yung northeast ng Cambodia at sa first month ng 1979, they approached the Phnom Penh kung saan yung mga Khmer Rouge began evacuating the city. Yung mga senior members of the movement fled to Thailand habang si Pol Pot naman pumunta sa city of Battambang. On January 7, 1979, Phnom Penh fell to the Vietnamese and they established a new People's Republic of Kampuchea, headed by Cambodian exiles na pumunta sa Vietnam nung reign ni Pol Pot at nung Khmer Rouge. In a matter of days, clearly, the Vietnamese won the war and si Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge defeated. Pero foreign powers, yet again, intervene in Cambodia's affairs. Natigil lang saglit yung war ng Vietnam and Cambodia nung in-invade ng China yung Northern Vietnam in mid-February that same year. Itong Sino-Vietnamese War only lasted less than a month at nagkaroon agad ng ceasefire dahil itong attack ng China sa Vietnam ay pagbibigay lang ng time sa Khmer Rouge to regroup and reorganize. And during this period, Pol Pot and his allies took advantage of the destruction and established control over parts of northwest of the country, yung malapit sa border ng Thailand. Sinubukan pang i-reinvent ni Pol Pot yung Khmer Rouge at i-deny yung efforts and actions ng party. He also positioned himself as the leader of the new Patriotic Democratic Front. Salut Sar, aka Pol Pot, dropped his pseudonym and changed it to Pem after his father. What's funny, actually ridiculous, dahil itong mga ginawa niyang actions won him some credibility on the international stage. At noong November 1979, the UN or United Nations chose to recognize the Khmer Rouge as the government of Cambodia over the administration in Phnom Penh. I know, nakakainis, diba? Kahit na sobrang horrible nung ginawa niya at ng movement. Ito ay dahil hindi pa alam ng mga bansa yung mga atrocities na pinaggagawa nila. Anyway, naglast yung Vietnamese-Cambodian War for 10 years at hindi nagbabackdown yung Khmer Rouge sa giyera. Kahit na mga Vietnamese troops and People's Republic of Kampuchea yung kalaban nila. In the mid-1980s, Pol Pot began moving away from the forefront of the movement. At noong September 1985, he resigned as the military commander of the Khmer Rouge. Isa sa mga dahilan ay yung pag-decline ng health niya dahil noong 1983, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, isang severe type of cancer. This required him to spend extensive periods of time in Bangkok and Beijing receiving medical treatments. Fast forward to 1988, Vietnam began withdrawing their 100,000 troops to Cambodia. And in 1989, they completely withdrew from Cambodia. Dahil ito sa international political pressure and a reduction in aid from Soviet Union. Pinoclaim yung ceasefire noong 1990 and peace negotiation began between the various groups to stabilize the country. Despite sa terrible crimes na ginawa ng Khmer Rouge, kasama sila sa peace negotiation. Sa mga talks, pinapadala ni Pol Pot yung associate niya na si Khieu Samphan to represent the party. Dahil itong si Pol Pot ay nagtatago sa liblib na location between Cambodia and Thailand. Yung negotiation centered around Samphan, Sihanouk, and pro-Vietnamese Hun Sen. Pero hindi nagtagal itong peace negotiation dahil si Samphan refused to disarm its troops, which is the Khmer Rouge, sa Western Cambodia and began waging war again. In response, si Hun Sen and Sihanouk gave the same energy at nagpatuloy yung gera. Noong 1993, in UN-supervised election, nanalo yung party ni Hun Sen and Sihanouk with over 80% of the vote, over 40 years after mag-abdicate sa throne niya si Sihanouk, he became a king again. Yung bagong government with Sihanouk and Hun Sen launched an offensive laban sa Khmer Rouge in western Cambodia. At this time, unti-unti na nalalagas yung dami ng miyembro ng Khmer Rouge. Mga less than a few thousand troops na lang sila na nag-occupy ng small section sa border region in Thailand. Pero kahit konti na lang sila, matatag sila dahil umabot hanggang 1999 bago sila tuluyang matalo ng Cambodian government. However, hindi na-witness ni Pol Pot yung final defeat ng Khmer Rouge. By the late 1990s kasi, yung party turned against its leader kung saan nagkaroon ng coup and pinis nila si Pol Pot and his family under house arrest by a rival na si Tamok. On top of that, Pol Pot suffered from heart condition, na-stroke siya, and was partially paralyzed at kinakailangan laging naka-oxygen. Tapos hindi pa natitreat yung cancer niya, so basically he's deteriorating. He was put on trial in July 1997 by the Khmer Rouge and was sentenced life imprisonment by the party he led for 30 years. And on April 15, 1998, Pol Pot died in his sleep. Pero may mga suspicions na nag-commit siya ng suicide dahil iniwasan niya yung trial sa US. 6 days after his death, cremated siya in a Buddhist ceremony, and the next year, 1999, sumrender na yung last Khmer Rouge troops and na-disband na yung kanilang party. Noong 1994, si President Clinton signed a Cambodian Genocide Justice Act, and under this law, yung mga main perpetrators, yung mga Khmer Rouge, ay ma-put on trial. They also provided $500,000 for research and collection of information about the crimes. Yung United Nations naman gusto mag-set up ng independent tribunals to prosecute the crimes sa Cambodia. It would both apply international and Cambodian law, which itself based on the French legal tradition. Itong hybrid court's official mandate is to bring to trial senior members of Democratic Kampuchea at sa mga responsable sa heinous crime committed during the period of April 1975 to January 1979. Unfortunately, noong nag-start na mag-function yung korte, a number of the surviving Khmer Rouge leader had already died. Nonetheless, the criminal investigation began on July 3, 2006. Maraming evidence ang nag-gather at merong 4 separate cases ang nag-emerge, including international crimes, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and genocide. Yung unang case held in 2009, defendant Kaing Guek Eu, aka Do, former commander security ng Prison S21, kung saan yung Khmer Rouge detained almost 20,000 Cambodians. Sa 77 days of proceeding, hindi lang 17 witnesses ang napakinggan ng korte. Na testimony from 7 character witnesses and 9 expert witnesses, but also from 22 civil parties, people who had been victimized. In 2010 decision, Do found guilty on crimes against humanity and grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions of 1949. At sinentensyahan siya ng korte to 35 years imprisonment. Pero yung trial chamber granted a 5-year reduction sa kanyang sentensya dahil sa unlawful detention niya dati. Umapila yung prosecution at saka yung defense at sa appeal. In February 2012, the Supreme Court Chamber increased the sentence to life imprisonment and revoked the 5-year reduction. Sa second case naman ay laban kina Q. Sampan, dating head of state of Democratic Kampuchea, Nuon Chea, former deputy secretary of the Communist Party of Kampuchea, Ieng Sary, former foreign minister, and Ieng Pirit, former social affairs minister. They were charged with crimes against humanity, grave breaches of Geneva Convention of 1949, and genocide against the Muslim Cham and Vietnamese. In 2012, si Ieng Pirit was found unfit to stand trial, so she was removed from the case. The next year, yung asawa niya na si Ieng Sary died on March 2013. At pagkatapos, namatay naman siya noong August 2015. Namatay na yung dalawang defendant. Yung hearing was focused na lang kay Q. Sampan and Nuon Chea. Nag-start ito noong November 2011 and 31 civil parties ang witnesses, and more than 100,000 people ang pumunta sa korte to watch from the witness gallery. Both of the defendant were convicted in August 2014 and was sentenced to life in prison. For these two men, I forgot to mention yung long list of charges sa kanila. With guilty verdicts in November 2018, they were charged with war crimes and crimes against humanity, including extermination, enslavement, torture, rape, and political, racial, and religion persecution. They also face charges of genocide against the Cham, Vietnamese, Buddhist, and former Khmer Republic officials. For 24 months of evidentiary hearings, yung court heard a testimony from 185 witnesses, including 63 civil party victims and 8 experts. Both of them, kagaya nga lang sabi ko kanina, were sentenced to life imprisonment. Si Noon Chia died in prison noong August 2019. And lastly, yung cases number 3 and 4, this one is very complicated because may disagreement yung national and international court. National court argue na yung mga mid-level officials do not fall under the court's jurisdiction, which is limited by law para sa may mga senior position in Khmer Rouge at sa mga responsible for the crimes committed. Ang argue naman ng international court, merong sufficient evidence to demonstrate that the level of seniority and culpability na mga na-charge meet the jurisdiction requirements, and therefore court should be able to proceed with the case. Yung mga defendants na sina Maya Smooth, former Khmer Rouge Navy Commander, Kim Chaem, former district official, Ao An, former deputy secretary in the Central Zone in Democratic Kampuchea, Kim Fifth, former district and zone official. In September 2009, yung international co-prosecutor requested the co-investigating judges to initiate investigation sa mga suspects. For Kim Chaem, dinismiss ng co-investigating judges yung case niya for lack personal jurisdiction. Parehas yung order ng co-investigating judges kay Maya Smooth and Ao An. The court lacked jurisdiction over the cases. Samantala, wala pang ini-issue yung co-investigating judges laban sa case ni Yim Thief. By the way, lahat sila ay may charges of genocide, crimes against humanity, and violation of Cambodian criminal law. Yung pag-seek ng justice for war crimes can involve more than a court passing judgment. Importante din yung pag-heal ng mga biktima at reparation. Pero sa Cambodia, na-tight yung budget dahil sa nasira yung kanilang ekonomiya, there's a little chance of financial support lang ang ma-offer dahil nga sa effect na ginawa ng Khmer Rouge. The court mandated collective and moral reparations na nag-a-address sa pangangailangan ng mga biktima. These projects include commemoration efforts such as memorial for the victims, information centers at killing sites, and the designation of National Remembrance Day. Reparation effort also provide psychological services, education about the atrocities, and documentation of the crimes. Merong DCCAM or Documentation Center of Cambodia, isang non-governmental organization na primary archive ng bansa during the Khmer Rouge era. Founded in 1994 by Yuk Chang, isa sa mga survivor ng genocide. Nag-gather sila ng documents and artifacts to help others know about the truth of what happened to them and their families. Yung S21 na ginamit ang mga Khmer Rouge as prison, ngayon ay Tuol Sleng Genocide Museum na nagsisilbing reminder ng mapait na nakaraan took place only 40 years ago. At hindi natin makakaila na yun nangyari sa Cambodia under the Khmer Rouge regime ay isa sa pinaka-worst human tragedies in the 20th century. And we can definitely say kung gaano ka-fragile yung ating liberty. Definitely, yung mga survivors at mga pamilya ng mga survivors experienced trauma. About 60% of the population still suffered from PTSD. Kahit 40 years ago na yung ginawang atrocities ng mga Khmer Rouge, Cambodians still suffer from intergenerational transmission of trauma. Isang rare condition kung saan yung bata namamana yung PTSD from their parents kahit hindi naman nila na-experience yung nangyaring genocide. Kaya we can't say na okay na agad ang isang tao after ng isang traumatic experience dahil healing is a process, lalo na siguro kung nangyari ito sa buong bansa, diba? So that's it for today's video. Let me know in the comments what else, what topic they want me to cover next. Thank you so much for watching. This has been me, your doll detective, Martin Rules. And as always, please keep safe and healthy. And I'll see you guys on my next video. Bye!